We're starting with verse number 31, Om Sang Saraswati Namaha. She who is purity, she who makes waves, she who is the intellect of love, she who is manifested energies, she who has many forms, she who is the gross body, she who is subtle, she who is the subtle wave, she who is the female ruler of all, she who is the feeling of emotions, she who is the form of supreme bliss, and she who is the intrinsic nature of the bliss of consciousness. She who is the expression of all bliss. She who is eternal. She who is the intrinsic nature of all bliss. She who is giver of purity. She who is blissful. She who is praise. She who is the intrinsic nature of songs of praise. She who manifests subtlety. She who is ferocious. She who is artistic. She who has various artistic capacities. She who is the form of all art. She who is a lotus. She who resides in a lotus. She who has a lotus mouth. She who shines like a lotus. She who is the energy of the divine eye. She who is the energy of peace. She who is peace. She who is the energy of subtlety. She who is the beloved of those who cry. She who is confusion. She who is manifested existence. She who is the energy that removes suffering. She who is the rhythm of life. She who is the destroyer of all enmity. She who is the highest energy of the rule of the pure. She who is the great energy of the rule of the pure. She who radiates light. She who is the intrinsic nature of the moon of devotion. She who is the soul of the light of wisdom. She who is the wife of Rudra, the reliever of suffering. She who is fierce. She who is the woman of nature, or the nature of women. She who is masculine. She who is energy. She who is happiness. She who is the mind. She who is the mother. She who is enjoyment. She who is liberation. She who observes the vow of devotion to her husband. She who is the supreme ruler of all. She who is the mother of all. She who dwells in all. She who is Shiva's strength. She who is knower of all. She who is giver of the attainment of perfection. She who has attained perfection. She who is existence. She who is all attitudes. She who is beyond all fear. She who creates. She who transforms or destroys. She who protects. She who gives rest. She who manifests darkness. She who is compassionate. She who mixes or mingles. She who manifests darkness. She who is established. She who is still. She who is stationary. She who performs austerities. She whose body is in motion. She who is restless. She who has a protruding tongue. She whose character is to heal. She who saves from fear. She whose spirit saves from fear. She who is modesty. She who is without modesty. Well, she's Digamber. She's clothed in space. Now, how modest is that? all the directions are her garment. She who is humble modesty. She who is the repository of Rajas Guna. She who is the personification of one's own ocean. She who is the strict observance of the ideals of perfection. She who is ultimate. She whose vibration is extremely subtle. She who is always happy to see her devotees. She who dissolves all evil. She who is especially beloved. She who is the ultimate. She who is hatred. She who is terribly fierce. She who is extremely fearful. She who has a fierce roar. She who is fierce. She who is the spirit of illumination. She who is the supreme ruler of all vibrations. She who is respect. She who manifests complete control. She who is the performer of union or sacrifice. She who is the beloved of union or lover of the Ajurveda. She who resides in the three Vedas, the Ajur and Atharva. Actually, the Samaveda is contained within the Rig Veda. It comprises less than 2,000 verses of the Rig Veda, which are written with Sama notation. So usually, quite often, they speak of Veda Trayi, the three Vedas. So here is a reference to the three Vedas. Rig, Sama, Atharva, Nilaya. She who is all rhythm. She who is the supreme ruler of illumination. She who has a dark throat. She whose neck has lines like a conch shell. She who is always playing the veena instrument. She for whom all is family. She who pervades the universe. She who desires herself. She who holds the three. She who is the supreme ruler of the perceivable universe. She who is the nectar of honey. She who is the manifestation of individual energy. She who is prosperity. She who is the attainment of perfection. She who is the remembrance of the pure. She who is the apsaras, Ramba and Urvashi. She who is extremely beautiful. Do you remember the apsaras, Ramba and Urvashi? There were many apsaras, the heavenly ladies that live in Indra's heaven. And two of the famous ones are Ramba and Urvashi. Urvashi was created from Narayan's Uru, his thigh. He slapped his thigh when Indra sent Ramba and Tilottama to seduce Nara and Narayan. Then Narayan slapped his thigh and created Urvashi, who is more beautiful than both of them, and said, tell Indra that if we were interested in having female companionship, we can provide our own action. You take this lady back to heaven with you.
Swami?
Yes.
Am I getting that mixed up with the two stones in Kedarnath?
No, you're not. Those are the two mountains in Kedarnath. There are two lingams, Narayan and Narayan.
Yeah.
And there are two mountains at Badrinath, also named Nara and Narayan. And there was also a third mountain in Badrinath named Urvashi. Nara was on the temple side of the river. Narayan was on the temple side of the river. Nara was across the river. And Urvashi was just next to Narayan. And you could see, between Urvashi and Narayan, you could see Nilkanth.
Oh, Nilkanth.
Was in the middle. The view of Nilkanth.
But, Swami, didn't they both go to Kedarnath?
Yes, they did.
Nara and Narayan.
Yes, they did.
That's where they did the tapasya.
Yes.
And then the two women followed them up there.
That's right. She who is the Apsaras, Ramba and Urvashi. She who is extremely beautiful. She who is the luminous light of the heavens. She who is abundance. She who is infinite wealth. She who holds a conch shell. She who holds a discus. She who is dark. She who is the performer of all action. She who holds a club. She who is a lotus. And then, she who holds a spear. She who holds the weapon of good actions. And she who holds the net. She who holds the bow named Sangha in her hand. Remember, that was Vishnu's bow, Sangha. That was a special bow that could slay all the demons. She who holds the spear. She who obscures perception. She whose strength is greater than lions or elephants. She who is the gardener of the forest. That's a nice one. Vishnu, do you know the gardener of the forest? Who cultivates all of those plants in the forest? Takes care of them all, nurtures them, and nourishes them.
Holly?
Yeah! Good guess. She who is the gardener of the forest. She who conveys all. She who loves the battle. She who is swift. She who is expert in war. She who has disheveled hair. She who holds the thunderbolt or lightning. She who is the divine drama. She whose beauty radiates the light of knowledge. She who is the beloved of sacrifice. She who is worthy of worship. She who is full, complete, perfect. She who is welcomed by the leader of all Asuras. She who is destroyer of the great ruler of duality. She who is all desires. She who has red teeth, also passion or bloody teeth. She who protects passion. She whose body is covered with passion. She who bears a cup of passion in her hands. She who loves or is the beloved of passion. So there are certain passions for against whom we need protection, and there are certain passions which are really beloved. Like the passion to love God. We want to love God passionately. So we have to discriminate between the lower passions which get us into trouble and the higher passions which bring us closer to union. She who loves or is the beloved of passion. She who delights in eating meat and drinking intoxicating spirits. She who wears a garland of heads dripping blood. Remember, we talked about the garland of skulls, all the impure thoughts, the personification of all the impure thoughts that she cuts away from us and takes our karma to herself, and they're losing their life force. All the karma is just losing its passion. It's dripping away all the desires and all the force, all the power. So we have no more negativities perplexing us. We can just look at her and see that she's wearing a garland of all of our negativities. That makes us free. She who wears a garland upon her neck. She who sits upon a corpse. She who is established in the ultimate consciousness. She who is the greatest seer of all. She who rides upon the bull of determination. She who wears a garment of tiger skin. she who moves with the speed of a deer, she who rides upon a lion, she who is the beloved goddess, she who is the great goddess, she who is rays of light, she who illuminates all wisdom, she who is a young girl, she who is a middle-aged lady, she who is an old lady, she who is the mother of the aged, she who is beyond age, she who has an excellent forehead. And remember, many sadhus can read the lines on the forehead and tell many things about predictive astrology just by the lines on the forehead. She who resides within herself, she who is the vibration of supreme divinity, she who creates divinity, she who is earth, she who is the spirit of dreams, she who is various writings, she who is the manifestation of that which is beyond manifested existence, the manifestation of that which is beyond the manifest. She who is the supreme ruler of all divinity, she who is always rewarding, she who is the purity of devotion, the epitome of commitment, she who is sharp, she who is the spirit of all enjoyment, she who is the spirit of all feeling, she who organizes the mind to optimum efficiency, she whose mind always laughs, she whose face radiates light, she who is the cause of the end of the forces of duality, she who is the giver of discipline, she who creates discipline, she who is discipline, she who is the supreme lord of discipline, she who is completely intoxicated, she who is intoxicated with divine spirit, she who is born of intellect, she who is the performer of all discipline, she who is the prasad or the consecration of offerings, she who resides in the middle of infinite excellent qualities. All the beings of all the worlds consider her to be greater than the greatest. That's quite a name. Can you imagine being called all the beings of all the worlds consider you to be greater than the greatest? Isn't that a good name? She who is the giver of victory, she who grants the boon of victory, she who is victorious over the three, all the threes, gross world, the subtle world, the causal world, she who is victorious with respect, she who is the repository of victory, she who is the giver of purity, she who is the giver of happiness or comfort, she who is the manifestation of truth, she who is the cause of purity for the entire community, she for whom Shiva is the ambassador, she who is the expression of all manifested existence, she who is the expression of the expressionless deity, she whose face is free from fear, she who is the manifestation of the ever-pure one, she who is the giver of birth to the family, she who takes away the deficiency of others, she who is the woman of the family, she who is the protector of the family, she who is fame, she who is welfare, she who is the peace of all beings, She who is the cause of peace to all beings. She who is loved by the Lord of all disembodied spirits. She who is with qualities. She who is without qualities. She who is all thirst. She who obeys all the rules. She who is the cause of desire. She who establishes. She who is the beloved wealth. She who is the giver of wealth. She who is wealthy. She who supports the earth. She who is excellent illumination. She who is the supreme lord of circumstance. She who is the supreme lord of gurus. She who is the ultimate guru. She who is with qualities of truth. She who is the manifestation of the soul of the three qualities. She who is the wisdom of the order of the king. She who is the great ultimate wisdom. She who is with qualities. She who is the manifestation of the soul of the three qualities. She who is the mother of the great family. She who is without desire. She who is with desire. She who is the life of desire. She who is the attribute of the Lord of desire. She who is the energy of perfection in the subtle body. She who dances with Shiva. She who is the jewel of all thought. She who clings to thought. She who wakes up the universe. She who is the refuge of the downtrodden. And that completes the 60th verse. Do we have any questions? Yes.
On page 163?
Yes.
Maybe it's a misprint.
Maybe.
Because you have Trigunatmika saying she is the manifestation of the soul of the three qualities. The same thing. Nirgunatmika means without, isn't that without the three gunas? Without the three qualities?
I'm sorry. Nirgunatmika.
Nirgunatmika, number 482. And number 478.
Yes. Nirgunatmika is beyond all quality. She is the manifestation of the soul which is beyond quality. Nirgun.
So is this a mis?
Yes.
Misprint.
Uh-huh. And then, or an outright mistake. May Saraswati bless us. Perfect time to edit. This is the umpteenth edition.
Very good.
It's name number 482, she who is the manifestation of the soul beyond qualities. Thank you. I wish I found you as an editor 25 years ago. Any other questions? Please.
Could you tell us a little bit about Vilasini, she who resides within herself?
Could you tell me the number?
I'm sorry, that's 412.
Yes. She resides within herself. She's contained within herself. She's totally independent and self-contained. All of her desires are under control. She desires what she has. So she resides content within herself, satisfied by herself. Needs nothing from the outside to add to herself. Totally content.
And then 418 on the next page.
Yes.
I have no idea how to visualize. She was the manifestation of that which is beyond manifest existence.
Yes.
That's a little bit of a mind bender.
Oh, it's more like, yes, it's an excellent name for meditation.
How can you manifest beyond the manifested existence?
It's something like meditating upon the sound of one hand clapping.
Yeah. That makes it really clear.
Yes, please.
But aren't there manifestations beyond manifested existing?
Absolutely. And she is the manifestation of that which is beyond manifested existence.
How can there be manifestations beyond manifested?
If you have purely potential energy, it is not devoid of existence. And yet, it is not manifest. Mm-hmm. It's the manifestation beyond manifested existence. Because it is not perceivable, empirically verifiable, does not make it devoid of existence.
Actually, we learned that back in Fairfield, in physics. And it was described that there's unmanifested energy. It's not manifested, you could call it potential energy. And it was described by, in terms of, if we had a box with three little pieces of light in it, three photons. And if you took out all the photons, what would be left in the box? You would think nothing. But there's a virtual photon, a virtual light, unmanifested light in the box, meaning that there's something under the manifested existence that's sort of warmed up, ready to go.
The vacuum energy.
Vacuum. Yeah, they call it the vacuum state. It's called the vacuum state.
It's just virtual particles that are allowed. Electron, positron, pairs. They're allowed by the uncertainty principle. They don't violate the conservation. And there's some theories that say that it's infinite energy. Infinite. But I wouldn't
just
necessarily, I wouldn't equate that to the ultimate. You know, some people say, well, that must be God, but it's just positron, electron pairs, you know, they're manifested they make them in, what do they call those machines?
Cyclotrons.
Well, they're not cyclotrons, but they're, there's just a background, that the whole vacuum is made up of those transitory particles that are just always there. And they've been, there's an experiment that shows that it's actually experimentally verifiable. Casimir effect. They can show that two plates will have some slight force because of the imbalance of those virtual particles striking the material. So there is an infinite energy, or possibly infinite, or near infinite energy that we call empty space. It's not.
Vacuum state.
Yeah. It's just we don't have any way to probe it. There's no instrument that can. To probe it, you have to have something that's of equal energy, and there's just nothing.
We bought a new vacuum just a couple of months ago. Could we probe it with the vacuum?
You know, but that's what Einstein was really looking for. You know, he described the four forces, mm-hmm. and that was his general theory of relativity. And his feeling was that there was some unmanifest field that gave rise to the four basic forces of nature. And what John Hagelin wrote in it's called the superstring theory, but he wrote in where that field exists and exists in consciousness. And that's what his claim to fame is, and it's been recognized by other great physicists as the a theory for a unified field, which we call consciousness, and which the physicists are calling a vacuum state, from which everything springs out.
There have been great physicists who brought consciousness into the picture of quantum theory to solve the measurement.
Well, that was Heisenberg did.
And solve the measurement problem. Famous Wigner was a famous one who proposed that consciousness has to be there, or you can't have a complete experiment until actually there's some consciousness to know it. And that's, of course, the basic teaching of any great master, is that there's no world without consciousness. It's the only material in the universe. So physics kind of pushes people to think about things like consciousness. It doesn't help the meditator, but I think some of the scientists are being pulled towards Eastern philosophy because they're forced to do it. The quantum theory is saying things that are just totally out of, you know, not related to the classical, usual deterministic theories. They're just forced to actually, in fact, Heisenberg, all the great, many of the great quantum theorists, when they were formulating the quantum theory, it was so weird. They got their support from Eastern philosophy. It gave them the feeling, belief that this, they were on the right track because it was already been said that, I guess, that matter is waves, it's sound, vibration, and that's what the quantum theory was basically about, is that matter is energy, and the energy takes the form of periodic motion or vibration. And the super string theory is basically saying that all fundamental particles are vibrations. And that's, isn't that what the Vedas say? The Rishis,
absolutely. The Prajna Upanishad discusses this entire question of the equality of matter and energy and consciousness, mm-hmm. are both omnipresent and indestructible. Actually, it's the foundation for quantum physics.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Prajna Upanishads. It's a short document. We might translate it one time. For the,
sounds interesting. But the idea that matter is that the particles are vibration, that everything is vibratory,
mm-hmm.
is the part that's now becoming very much incorporated in modern theory, like super string theory.
Vaisheshika philosophy says that all existence is comprised of atoms tumbling in a vortex of empty space. Even all material elements have this continuous vibration, the continuous motion as perceived by consciousness from within.
But is consciousness then simply the material that when it vibrates, it displays the world, and it also knows the world?
Distinguish consciousness from the energy only to speak of it, because if we don't make distinctions or discriminate between the two, we're going to end up saying Brahma, 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 Brahma. If it's all one, then we have no vocabulary. So we agree on calling it by different nomenclature, consciousness being that aspect of energy which perceives or illuminates or cognizes or recognizes, and energy being that perceivable aspect which vibrates, which is perceivable by consciousness.
But
actually, E equals mc squared. Without consciousness, there's no energy. Without energy, there's no consciousness.
It's itself looking at itself.
Thank
watching
you.
Itself.
But the consciousness is expressing the world through vibration. The analogy is usually the ocean. The waves on the ocean look like individual objects, but there's still the ocean. Water is water, whether it's moving or still. Consciousness is consciousness, whether moving or still. There's only one material in the universe, and that's consciousness. But we divide it up in order to have some concept of it.
So that's why she's called, who is the manifestation of that which is beyond manifesting.
It's good to bring it back home, Swami. Thanks.
Well, sometimes we stray into the labyrinths of Vedanta, and it can get very intellectual very quickly. And we realize that our relationship with God is a love affair. It's about opening our hearts so that we really bring her inside and become aware of her presence all the time. We feel her presence. It's not just to dwell on the intellectual concepts of it. And that's where I think some of the physicists will veer off from the sadhus, whereas physics definitely has a sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
But often they carry it around in their heads instead of taking it into their hearts and living their truth, living the reality.
Once you have the devotion, you can't help but go down the path of more knowledge.
It's true. It's true. Knowledge and devotion are the same path. The more you love, the more you want to know. It's true. It is true. Without a doubt. And the more you know, the more you want to love. Because true knowledge creates humility. And humility inspires surrender. And surrender creates devotion. And it's a cycle. The more you serve and love, the more you receive. The more she opens herself up to you and shows herself. And that makes us want to serve and love more.
Einstein said, God was secretive, but wasn't malicious. In other words, the understanding of the universe is available if you look for it. But you got to look for it. Well, and he was really drawn. You know, they said he wasn't a religious person or something, but he was a really spiritual person. He just had this feeling that you know, all these secrets are available, and he was going to look into them, try and find them. But God was not malicious, and they wouldn't be completely hidden. It's cool.
Yes.
He felt that the universe was totally deterministic, whereas quantum theory shows it to be indeterministic, and he couldn't accept that.
We had that discussion last night, I'm sorry.
Modern experiments have shown he was wrong. Einstein blew it.
Yeah, but he played a nice violin.
No, he was a terrible violin player.
Yeah, he makes a great big.
Om Sang Saraswati Namaha.